This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Maddie and Amy podcast.
Millennials.
Oh, which apparently we just missed by, I think, like a year. So technically we're not millennials, but we get the whole millennial thing. And I bring this up because I've seen a couple things floating around about like things millennials are doing a little bit different.
What are they doing now?
Well, one of the things they're doing is rather than having wedding cake at their weddings, they're actually doing cheesecake. So huge wheels of like brie and camembert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
I would do that. You know how much I love cheese.
It would make you quite sick. But
it would. But it would be worth it.
It'd be
in
a
my
lit
opinion.
Wedding, would it not be? And they even have like the toppers of like the bride and groom or the bride and bride, whoever.
In cheese.
On the top. Not in cheese, but on the top.
I would want cheese, like a Swiss cheese bride.
That'd be really cute.
Wouldn't it?
The other thing that millennials are also doing is apparently, you know, we can't really buy houses because they're very expensive at the moment.
Well, I've seen the memes about us only being able to afford avocado toast. Oh, wait, no. Because we buy avocado toast, we can't afford houses, which I think is ridiculous.
Ridiculous, right? But now that we know that we just can't afford a house ever, we're apparently just like buying houseplants.
Oh, that is me.
Yeah, so we're spending more, like, you know, money and time on that. And even, like, Google can confirm this, that, like, the searches for houseplants have gone up times 8 in the last 2 years.
It's me.
It's you, Matt. It's literally you. But I just feel like it's sad because we're used to being called, like, you know, crazy cat ladies. But I think we're going to be, like, lonely plant ladies.
That's going to be me when I'm 80, just rocking back and forth with my...
Your cactus.
Yeah, with my cactus. Right now, I want to talk about love languages.
So you've heard about love languages, but I don't have any clue as to what they really mean.
So basically, a love language is something that you do to express your love, or even a way that you receive love. Oh. So it's based upon this like book by Gary Chapman. It came out when I was born, 1995. As with any good book, this book was a part of the Oprah Book Club. So
you know it's legit. You know it's legit.
So this is something that I bring up whenever I meet somebody new. I always talk about love languages because I really like knowing how people receive love.
Yeah, which is cute to know because like it helps in the future.
Yeah, so a love language is 5. The first one is physical touch. The second one is words of affirmation. So if you get like encouragement or something from someone. Gifts is the third one. Quality time. And acts of service.
Okay.
So acts of service, that was one that confused me a little bit at the start. But basically it's when somebody does something for you.
Okay.
So like cooks you a meal or brings you a cup of tea.
Or like drives you to work or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So something you like would do, okay, for someone else.
Do you think you could guess my love language?
Physical touch, words. I think you would like words of affirmation.
Yep.
And I wouldn't say gifts because you're not... I don't think you're really into that as much. And maybe quality time?
Yep. You know me, Amy. They're exactly my love languages. So that's how I receive love. Like, I love it when people say that I'm good at something or that they think I'm pretty for the day.
And I spend time with you.
Yeah, that's... Do you know... I'm going to try and guess yours now, actually.
What do you reckon?
I think yours is also words of affirmation.
Yeah, I would say that. Someone needs to tell me I'm cute and do good things.
And I reckon you're... I think you're also quality time. No?
No. I probably wouldn't say that.
What would you... What
acts
do you think?
Of service.
Really?
Yeah. I love when, like, little things go such a long way for me and, like, I always will remember them. So, like, if you, like, were to get me, like, a cute gift because it reminds you of something we said or spoke about... Like,
that's gifts, though.
No, but it's different because I feel like acts of service, like, you're going out of your way to do it. Don't you reckon?
I don't know.
Maybe it's a cross between that and gifts.
I want to know producer Lisa's love languages as well. Have you ever heard of love languages before?
Yeah, I just didn't know like the specific categories that they fell into.
Yeah.
This is so cool. I'm going to go home and do my bloody research.
It really interests me. Every time I'm at work, I always delve into it with somebody new.
Yeah.
So, like, what are yours?
Mine would definitely be...
I reckon I know one.
Oh, go.
I reckon would quality time be one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, knew it.
Mm-hmm. Quality time, and it's either acts of service or physical touch.
But yeah. You don't like physical touch, Lisa.
No, I do when I like you.
We tried to hug her today and she was like, no.
Don't touch me.
No, that was because I gave you a gift, the gift of Tim Tams, and you didn't need any. I didn't need anything from that. Okay. That was just from me to you. That was a selfless act.
Okay, that's cute though. But isn't it interesting? Everyone has these like different love languages.
I am so invested in people and I love to know because like even a way that I receive love from my girlfriend is different and I've had to like kind of change the way that I do things because Maribel's is acts of service.
Yeah.
And I'm totally not that person that will go out of my way to do something for somebody.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not... Like, I do, but, like...
I would say you do. You're, like, very thoughtful. So, surely...
Aww. I think, yeah, that's adorable. I think what falls under that is, like, I cook for people all the time. I'm, like, I'll buy you flowers.
Your acts like, of service, yeah. Then.
And good with, like, advice. Like, anytime I have problems, I'm, like, Lisa, help me. And you always do.
Yeah, I literally said yesterday, one of the ways I show affection is, let me help you with your resume.
So, Lisa, I actually think you're probably, like, all of the love languages. You are just good at loving.
No, that's too much pressure. You know what? I reckon we put this on our Tinder profile, like our love languages. So now they all know. Human Nature are heading back down under for their Little More Love 30-year celebration tour, which is all kicking off in late April. We're now joined by Mike Tierney from Human Nature. Mike, you've had a huge stint in Vegas for the last couple of years and you're finally coming back to Australia. Will you be bringing the Vegas theatrics down under?
Absolutely. I've got my magic all planned out, my David Copperfield routine. No, we're still in Vegas at the moment. We actually just signed for an extension to our residency for another 3 years.
So
we'll be taking a break, come back to Australia, but we'll be back there for about a month. And it's just always great to come back home and you know, see an Australian audience and people who've kind of grown up with us over the years. And so we're excited to get back there and do our show.
Now, in your career, you guys have supported Celine Dion and Michael Jackson. Has there been a highlight for you over the last 30 years?
You know, there's been many highlights, I suppose. And, you know, they would be touring with Michael Jackson was definitely, you know, an incredible time. But we also performing at the Sydney Olympics. We sang the anthem there, which is now almost 18 years ago now. But it was such an amazing time too. And, you know, any time we get the chance come back and perform in Australia is always a highlight. So we're super excited to get back and do our show.
Now, with this show, the 30-year celebration tour, you've actually got Dami Im as a special guest during the tour. What's it like working with someone as incredible as her?
Yeah, she actually did a duet with us on the last record we made, Romance of the Jukebox. She did a duet on a song, and she's just, you know, she's a lovely, lovely person, and I think it's going to be great to have her involved in the show. She's you know, super open to sort of trying different things and kind of, you know, being part of the show.
Yeah, lots of iconic Australian artists coming together to perform. You guys, during the tour, will be performing your iconic back catalogue together with instant hits from the new album. What's your favourite song to perform together?
I think for us, there's lots of different favourites. I mean, some of our songs from our first record are still great. Songs like Wishes and the duet we did with John Farnham, Every Time You Cry, is always great. It always has the audience singing along, which is awesome.
Mike, can I also say, I went to Vegas with my family, I think in like 2009, and my dad and my sister and I decided to go see a magic show, but my mum is obsessed with you guys. She bought front row tickets and she sung all night, and she claims that you guys actually pulled her out of the audience and got her to sing a chorus with you because she knew all the words.
Oh, God. Oh wow! That might have happened.
We love getting
the audience involved. So it's I'm sure that probably did happen.
What's next after your 30-year celebration tour?
Well, after the 30-year celebration tour, we'll probably head back to Vegas. We've got more shows here, and then we'll probably get back into the studio and look at recording some more music as well. So it's gonna be it'd be an exciting year to see what comes up and. But at the moment we're sort of just planning the tour and getting all that together. And then once that's over, then we'll kind of think what's beyond the tour after that.
Maybe we'll have like a 60-year tour as well. That'd be really nice.
If we can still walk.
Thank you so much, Mike, from Human Nature. Human Nature will be in Melbourne at the Margaret Court Arena on Wednesday 1st of May and Thursday 2nd of May. Thank you so much, Mike.
Nice to talk to you guys.
It's that part of the show where we bring on our producer, Lisa, to give some love advice. And it is the day of love, Amy. And there's a lot of single people out there, but there's also a lot of lovers. So what Lisa's love letters is we ask you to give your thoughts and your
dilemmas.
Your dilemmas over. And Lisa is a really good problem solver. So here's Lisa's love letters.
That beautiful intro. It's big Capricorn energy. That's all I can put it down to, honestly. It's like I owe it all to the universe, really. No, we had a massive response for Lisa's love letters this week.
Oh, good.
Everyone's getting in the Valentine's spirit. Or maybe they're a bit stuck, you know, I don't know. But I got this message from Beck in Preston. And she wants to know, what is the perfect meal to cook for someone that I want to impress but haven't yet had the what are we conversation with?
Oh.
And I feel like I've been in this situation a million times because I feel like I'm constantly dating but never really like locking anything down.
So is she trying to get a meal that says, I want more from this?
Yes.
So what kind of food do you put on the plate for that, Lisa?
Homemade tacos.
Tacos? See, I would... Is it
That's such a lesbian thing to say.
Oh, my God.
Is it Maddie?
Are they meat or vegetarian tacos?
Always vegan.
Oh, okay. Vegan.
Yeah, because it makes for no upset tummies. It's a really well thought out like meal, trust me.
Because I was going to say, if you're going to cook a meal, it needs to be one that doesn't upset anyone's stomach.
Yeah.
Because if I go on a date, I always avoid things like burgers or like meaty, cheesy things. Well, be careful.
There's nothing worse than like getting to that intimate moment and you really, like it's built up.
Yeah.
Food.
Exactly.
It happens to me all the time.
And like you can use, obviously there's like beans in it and stuff, but like you can choose what you put in a vegetarian mixture. You can use lentils and there's a whole bunch of stuff you can put in.
So I was going to say, what says I love you like a taco though? Or is it saying I love you, or is it just like I want a relationship with your taco?
It's like this is my wife material or husband material that I've got going on. Like I get real fancy with it. I get like soft tacos, the mini ones, so you can kind of eat. It's almost like a tapas, and then trust me, it's a winner. And then you like char some corn, and you like I chop up like cabbage and lettuce and put like a little vinaigrette on it.
Oh my God, it's so authentic, Lisa.
Yeah,
what
I know. You're welcome, Beck in Preston. You're welcome. Have fun with your tacos. Let me know how they go. I also got a question that says, Dear Lisa, I am a newly single gal to the Tinder game. Swiping left and right on hotties and notties has become a regular pastime, but I get stuck when it comes to the messaging. Sometimes the conversations are really long with interesting people and others are super short and they don't respond, but I still haven't gone on a date. How do I pick the perfect moment to ask someone to hang out?
Oh,
I say just strike while the iron's hot. If you think they're hot and they think you're hot and you're, you know, vibing even in the slightest, don't even ask where they live or anything. Just say, when are you free?
Yeah, I agree. You why leave it and like let it hang? Whereas like if it's both passionate right now, just do it.
So be abrupt with it. Be stern and direct.
Take charge. People love a bit of dominance, I feel.
Mm.
And also it doesn't allow, like I hate having too many conversations on the DMs.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you find out too much about the person while you're in the chat room and then it doesn't leave much. Just in case the chemistry needs a bit of time to build up when you first meet, you've got some stuff. You've got some like ground to cover. We also got this other one from Anonymous that says, how is Amy still single?
I don't know. It's because I love Pitbull.
That's this week's Lisa's Love Letters. Lisa's Love Letters. I hope that helps some single people out there.
Maddie and Amy on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.